Yes, 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 y'all. Welcome in to another edition of the Dumb Marks Podcast, episode 154, your favorite Saturday brunch, back at it again, talking everything that is the world of pro wrestling. Gentlemen, how we living, how we feeling, how we looking? Jay, you look like you had a little just for men beard in there and darkened that up. Did you get a Beijing in the beard?
No, it's still here.
It looks a little darker today. I can't tell. Must be the lighting in that beige room over there. You hide in the grays and the beige.
He's got that like touch-up camera going on.
Yeah. You had an extra filter before you got on.
It's all natural.
You see that gray in the beard look like General Zod from Man of Steel.
He's just been out there all silent, stroking his beard, pause. Before we went live, I don't know what type of attitude you're on today, but you better like laughing up. Okay, you look like you woke up 37 seconds ago.
When the first thing I got to do is talk to people in the morning, as soon as I wake up, I'm over it.
And this dude's on a podcast, like, go figure, right? Like,
this is me every morning.
I can vouch.
Bingo was rough last night, apparently.
Yeah. Yep. Light bright. There you go, Taquan. Yes, sir. Well, we're back at it again. As you know, the drill, we'll give you guys everything from the world of pro wrestling, Mount Rushmore's Jabroni of the Week. Break everything down in between from last Saturday to today. A lot of just, the amount of stuff that we have to consume on a weekly basis, I feel like we need to go live like 2 or 3 days during the week just to be able to realistically talk and break everything down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've changed the formatting of this show multiple times so that way we feel like we could just fit what we do. And I feel like we got a good groove with the Mount Rushmore and Jabronis and breaking down positive and negative and having sidebar conversations and everything else off of that. But man, I'm like, I got to last night and I'm like, I don't want to consume any more wrestling right now. Like, I really don't. Mm-hmm. So I didn't. I read the recaps this morning. My daughter and I, we finished watching the first season of Chucky. Get ready to binge through season two because season three is getting ready to start on the 4th. So yeah, like I took a break last night. I needed it. I could not sit down and watch any more wrestling after the week that was.
It happens. It do. Me and Chris know firsthand.
The burnout gets real.
It does.
When you try to watch everything, that's the thing. If you try to watch everything, you get burnt out so quick.
And like last week, I was on a positive note because everything was good last week. This week, I don't know if it was just the week that was or what, but I was like just extra grumpy watching everything this week. And like, so I put on the Cobra Kai shirt today. I'm like, all right, I have no mercy today. I'm going hard on people today. Pause.
That can be our spinoff, Nate.
Yeah, but we're not going to start there. I'm not going to get on soapbox. Wrestling with his feelings. There you go. Look at Nate coming in with the name. See, Nate, there you go. There's your podcast right there. Wrestling with his feelings. We'll gladly take a percentage once you get up and running and start blowing up. But
we can have a fifth dumb mark in the lineup.
We got fifth, sixth, seventh, Well, that's a different segment, but I'll take that. Nate, we might hire you for our PR, Nate. Instead of coming into the idea box of gimmicks where we, write stuff down on a piece of paper and throw it in a hat, we're just going to hit up Nate. Nate, what you got for us this week?
Yeah.
And roll with that. That might be, we may do that for one show. Just throw it out to the fans. Hey. Box of gimmicks. What do you got? And we'll come in here and freestyle it, like Eminem and B Rabbit in the basement of the church, out there in the cipher. Yeah. So,
and the best we can do on returns is a Permani sandwich through the mail. Get a flavor of Pittsburgh. There you go.
Speaking of Permani's, I went there last night. Not the same. Not the same. It wasn't. It was trash. Wasn't that good at all? Which one did you go to? The one down the waterfront.
I mean, there you go. There's your answer.
Well, I wasn't going to drive downtown for Permanis whenever I live 5 minutes away from the one down the street.
Go to a franchise store and you expect perfection.
Hey, look, if you're going to franchise it out, you got to make it all taste like the original. Okay?
Very true.
That's the way it is.
Next, you're going to be saying, I need the sandwich to look just like it does in the ads.
Well, I mean, add the hairspray and the extra turtle wax to the tomatoes, make them bitches pop. So before we get into Mount Rushmore and Jabroni, obviously the big news of the week was the superstar releases from WWE. Everybody knew it was coming once the merger was completed. There was a lot of office people that went. You know, once the merger was announced, I think over 100 people throughout the company itself. There were some departments that, if you know, based on reports that were out there, there were some departments that went from like 25 people down to 2. So good luck to those people.
Yeah.
Because I know what it's like working in a big corporation and downsized to where, you know, you're doing the work of 30 people and there's 3 of you. So bless your hearts, because yeah. You talk about burnout. That happens real fast whenever you're picking up the slack for 7 other people because of cuts and layoffs. So we had the list of names come out Thursday. Depending on where you are at and which one of these individuals you're a fan of, it could have affected you more than others. But basically, there was one name that was released that I was actually surprised about. And other than that, while I'm not glad that they left, it's okay. I see why they cut you.
Yes.
Like, you haven't been on TV. You're not doing nothing.
No.
They have nothing for you. You know, you're up there in age. Like, God damn it.
He's getting the purse, huh?
Yo, saying Luigi Primo is getting a Supermax deal is crazy. But, well played.
That's 6 years, $227 million.
Top Dollar already dropped a music video and is promoting his album. So, be on the lookout for all that on your DSPs.
The thing I was surprised with Top Dollar was that no one else got cut from that group. So I'm kind of interested to seeing if that means they have something for them.
Then they threw B-Fab and Ashanti out on SmackDown last night. Ain't seen Hit Row since they got busy putting LA Knight over back in June. Top Dollar gets canned, and lo and behold, they're out there doing a rap. So yeah, like we said, I'm not happy about anybody losing their job. It sucks. I've lost my job before, so like I know what these people are going through from that standpoint. We've seen others that have gotten released and made the most out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, Cody left on his own, but you got, you know, your Matt Cardona's and others that have gone out there and has springboarded their career to where they're bigger now than what they were in the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And if they were to go back to WWE, like, Cardona's taking a pay cut if he goes back to WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And probably will still send catering. They would hire him just to hire him.
Yep.
Right. So you can do it and get out there. So it doesn't have to be the end. It's the new chapter and the new beginning.
Look at Drew and Lashley when they went to Impact after they got cut. For a whole new life and then brought him back.
Yep. We got Pro in the pod. Shout out Pro.
What's going on, man?
How's it going?
But out of all the releases, the one that I'm sure you guys are probably in the same sentiment just because of what he's been doing, but Ali was the one where I was like, okay, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Like, he's been great in NXT. Mm-hmm. You know, he has a big title match coming up with Dom. Like,
Dom's gonna put him over.
I thought, okay, this is his time. He's gonna get a belt now. Like, we're gonna actually get to see Ali with a run. that we never got for whatever reason. You know, after he got injured and Kofi Mania took over, it was just like, okay, we're never going to go back to this kid again.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, why would you never go back to him? Like, if you thought that of him before he got injured.
Yeah.
So there may be other things behind the scenes that we're not aware of, but from an in-ring product wise, bell to bell, he put on some of the most entertaining matches that I've watched during his run with the company.
Yeah, he can go.
So that one there, I was just like, okay. And then I don't know if you listened to Bully Ray or not on Busted Open whenever names were coming out with him and Mark Henry. And this one I'm totally in agreement with. You can say what you will for him in-ring wise, but like Bully Ray said, if your name is as an entertainment company, World Wrestling Entertainment, and you can't find nothing for Elias, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Because he was entertaining as Elias, as Ezekiel. You know, over. He turned a bunch of lemons into lemonade. And I just don't understand how he never panned out.
Wait, what does that do for longevity if you're just entertainment?
Most of his segments though were entertainment, in the ring, like
if you're just entertainment.
Jay, you know who else was just entertainment? Hurricane Helms. And look at the career he had. He was just entertainment. Hurricane was just entertainment. But they never gave Elias that type of run.
But I mean, he was there. He was there. He didn't have longevity.
Who, Elias?
Hurricane.
What are you talking about? He's still with the company now. He came in from the WCW buyout up and until the end of his run. Like, he was there for. Somebody fact check this, but I guarantee you, Hurricane Helms had at least a 12-year WWE run. At least
total.
Consecutively or total?
Consecutively for 10 to 12 years before he got released, came back for some pops, you know, went on, did some indies, retired, and then back as a producer. But from a straight run, I guarantee you it was a 10 to 12 year run. 02 to at least 2010 to, or 2012, 2014.
That seems long for him. I don't remember him with some of those talent. Look that up.
And I may have the time frame wrong for whenever he came into the company, but
he came in right after WCW.
I mean, 8 or 9 years is that's a long NFL career. But yeah, Elias just that was the one, like,
till 10.
Yeah, Jay, he
01 to 10.
So 9 years straight.
I mean, never gave Elias the shot in the ring. You know, Hurricane definitely had more shine in the ring than Elias did, but
true.
If they would have given him the shot, he could have showed off. You know, we saw him wrestle back in the day. We know he could at least go. You know, he has the ability to go in the ring.
Yeah, so those two were the only names. Everybody else, you know, your Dolph Ziggler's, your Shelton Benjamin's, everybody else, like, yeah.
I could see those, yeah.
I could see, but based on age, what you're making per year, everything else, like, yeah, I can see you being a budget cut. And for all those people out there that are bitching, oh, how do you claim budget cuts when you just signed a $1.4 billion TV deal? WWE is the worst. It's not WWE.
Yeah, not anymore.
Not anymore. They're not separate. They're bought out. Anytime you go through a buyout, people lose their jobs. It
just
happens.
Just like any other sports team, there's a payroll. And I'm sure the TKO wants to get to a certain number, and that's what these were all about.
Yeah.
And they didn't release anybody besides Ali that was prominently used on television.
But everybody else you haven't seen in a while.
And for a while there, WWE was just keeping talent to keep talent. They were just hoarding talent for years. You know, there was years of no cuts for a long time. And I don't need them to hoard talent. They don't need to employ people just to employ people.
Oh, the chat's getting spicy. That's getting spicy. Hey, Pro and Typhoon, we got Survivor Series coming up. We've been floating an idea about having a little War Games episode with you two coming live on the show. Taekwon, we got to figure out the censor button for you, but we need to see the matchup happen. We got to get Pro and Day live on the show going at it. So, budget cut, they are what they are, you know. But I will say this, Dolph Ziggler, and I know, Donald, you have your own game today, but a debate this can strongly be made is Dolph Ziggler being the most underrated WWE superstar of all time. When you look at his resume and what he's compiled over his career, it's a first ballot Hall of Fame career.
Donald said on this show many times, WWE's made me not care about Dolph Ziggler. I agreed with him after a while on that, because what'd they do with him?
Talented, very, very talented, but the company ran him through the mud into the ground where I really didn't care about him.
How did they not cash in on him at his apex? What was that, like 2012, 2014-ish? The whole Survivor Series run when he was the lone survivor? How do you not cash in on that at that point in time? That was one of the hottest, most over people have been.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not to the degree of the Daniel Bryan Yes Movement, but that was up there.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't do nothing with it.
We'll never understand it.
Yeah. Like when he cashed in his Money in the Bank, the big pop he got. Unfortunately, he got injured, you know, during that run, which threw that off track.
But like, how many times do they say that, you know, Vince doesn't like whenever people get over on their own? You know, so it's like if they get over on their own, he's not going to push them as hard as if he wants them to be pushed.
But did Dolph really get over on his own, though?
I think people liked him because of his in-ring talent. I think that's how he got over. Like he could just go out there and do everything. At that time, when did he have a bad match?
Dolph was having, as Sheamus calls them, bangers after bangers after bangers. You know, like you take that prime Dolph Ziggler and you put him up against like an Omega in like 2016, 2017. Like when he was doing the Okada bit, like you put them two in a ring together. Whew.
10 stars.
I was about to say.
Especially if it's like at least a 7. Yeah. It's in Japan, 12.
You at least got a 7 star out of it. At least.
You have that run of Dolph versus like a prime AJ Styles.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
Whew. Yeah, you know, Dolph towards the end definitely just kind of flamed out.
But in this day and age, what mid-carders do you truly care about?
Well, now we're potting, boys.
You're not going to overshine the big guys, and once the big guys are up top, everything else becomes secondary.
Okay, so
other than Gunther right now?
I was gonna say, do you consider Gunther or do you consider him mid card?
No, Gunther's top level. Man, he got the title.
He's changed the game.
Mm-hmm.
He's reverted it back when it was the world. You said what it's working with the belt. Yeah.
I mean, Ali was definitely one that I could put in there. I never understood why he didn't get the TV time that he deserved. So he was a mid-carder that I enjoyed. And that's I see him as a mid-carder because he would be fighting for the Intercontinental or the U.S. title.
He was a mid-carder, but I didn't see him as like a mid-carder I cared about.
But he doesn't have that character. He doesn't have that identity or character that sticks with you.
I think it depends on promotion. But if we're speaking strictly WWE main roster, as far as mid carders that you care about, they do at times, for short stretches, give you people to care about, a la Chad Gable, this most recent run over these last couple months, right? We've seen Ricochet a little bit. They do have their moments, you know. Kofi's started out as a mid-card, but that just ballooned up to main event level, right?
It's almost like they're pulling the AEW and, hey, we'll put you in the spotlight for a minute, and then once we're done with you, you're going to go right back to catering.
Yeah, so I mean, I think NXT has done a better job with giving you, if you're going to label that mid-card status, right, giving you more guys to care about over the years as a mid-carder that isn't going to win the NXT title, but you care about, and they go out there and deliver, and they're either just there or, you know, get called up and then don't get used. So everything that they build up from a currency standpoint with the audience goes away. But I don't, you know, WWE wise, it's not, the formula's changed. We talked about this before. They don't go in building the steps,
right? Yeah, anymore.
You don't have your enhancement talent. You're moving up. You're getting wins, you're stacking, you're starting to build. They give you a storyline, then you enter into that intercontinental title, European title category, right? You're there for a while, do some stuff, you cash in on that, then you start getting bigger. Like, there's no consistent, it's not like a hot air balloon no more, right? Where you're releasing more air and the balloon's going up higher and higher and higher. It's more of a roller coaster. You're getting shot straight up to the top, and then after that, you're going right down.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that hurts people with the audience to where.
A la Kofi.
Yeah, even with, you know, I mean, hell, look at Drew right now.
Yeah.
Like, Drew was up there, ran with it during the pandemic. His run was what it was, but they only had him wrestle Randy Orton his entire title run. And then dropped the belt and gone down. And now it's like, all right, do I care about Drew McIntyre? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
So
and I guarantee he's getting a nice payroll, you know, for not doing much at all.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things. Is it worth going back to the old way to get more people to buy in, to get more people invested? Like, I know they were showing Ali's promo on Raw. Was it Raw Talk or SmackDown? But when R-Truth was sitting there and he was talking about WWE relying on the 15, 20, 25-year vets and not building up young talent and this and that. And it was one of the best promos that he's cut to where people watched that. And it was like, oh, there's your Miz moment. Like, this is where he can go up from here. Take it and run with it. But they never did that. And it's like, all right, well, we're looking back on WWE now since that promo to now when he gets released. And it's like, well, what do we see? You have two or three guys that are consistently at the top of the card. Nobody's really being built up. Mm-hmm. And you're bringing back John Cena and The Rock. So where was he wrong?
Do you think... Because, I mean, things have changed since then, you know, not even just the formula, but I guess part of the formula is now the talent isn't the one helping themselves out. You know, it's the writers. If the writers don't have anything for you, you know, you're not doing anything. So is it better to have the writers or is it? Because, like, back in the day, it was just Vince, Pat Patterson, Bruce Pritchard. You know, he just had his crew that wrote all the shows and then the talent helped out or the talent did their own thing if they didn't have anything for them. So what's the better formula? Like, do you like today's formula? Do you like the old formula?
But even that can be debated because, as the example with Elias, he's been healthy and according to reports from multiple publications and sites, he's been pitching ideas to come back and do stuff. So talent is giving ideas. It's just, all right.
This management wouldn't listen.
Yeah, are we just not listening? Yeah. Are we not listening to the talent, even though they're coming with ideas and we're strictly relying on the writers? Or is it a combination? Like, what are we doing? But, I mean, it's just you have 5 hours of TV programming and there's not a spot for Elias.
Exactly. But we have, what, 3-4 segments of John Cena yesterday?
That's a good point. I thought of you last night as soon as I finished SmackDown. I was like, well, they bookended the show with John Cena. Then sprinkle a little more in the round. But.
Pro, spoiler alert, Elias confirmed that he was also Ezekiel. I know people don't want to believe it, right? But he did come out and confirm that Elias and Ezekiel, he is one of the same.
I'm still waiting for Kevin Owens to show up on social media to say something.
Where is that at? I needed that immediately. Like, as soon as Elias put that release out with his goodbyes, I'm like, I went searching. Like,
all you need Kevin Owens is vindicated.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
And I don't know if it would be in poor taste or not, but, like, come out on Raw and just give a quick little head nod. Hey, when I said I was right and I told you I was right, I was right. And everybody should know exactly what he's talking about.
Hey, Logan.
Yeah, not Logan Paul. So, yeah, I don't know. There's always going to be
Pittsburgh. I mean, I'm sure we're going to be seeing him soon again. So,
him and Virgil.
IWC has the
super indies coming up.
There's super indies coming up, so maybe we get him
one of your top
popping up there. That would be a nice, nice pop up add to that tournament there. So yeah, I don't know. We'll see. But
I have a question for you. So, Chad Gable right now. Is he more than a moment?
That's not.
Well, that's what we were. That's what we were talking about. Like, he's the prime example of what your initial question was, because people are invested and buy in, but it's teetering on that point to where Gunther is going to move on, and then what do you do with Gable?
I think we're all Gable fans here, and have been Gable fans before this push. So like, I think like. Okay, maybe not so much Jason.
Are you truly?
I've been a fan.
You are American Alpha fans.
Yeah, dude, yeah. I've been a fan since then.
And then, I mean, the Shorty G. Everybody teetered on the Shorty G.
We can go back in the archives. I remember it was me and Chris did a draft breakdown show. Whenever it was the Shorty G era of Chad Gable, and I broke down on that show as to why they're doing him a disservice and he needs to be the Kurt Angle of this generation based off of who he is, his talent in the ring, and what he can do from an all-around perspective. To me, Gable's always been a five-tool player. He can do anything in any situation, have a match with anybody, big, small, doesn't matter, in between, pause. He gets it done. So am I going to continue to be a Chad Gable fan? Absolutely. Will everybody else continue to be a Chad Gable fan? Probably not, because they're going to cool off on him, and then it'll go away, and it's not going
to
matter.
You'll be back to
this thing. Yeah. We're paying attention to his in-ring, and it's out of this world.
I haven't always enjoyed – I haven't liked what they've done with him, as a character, but I've always enjoyed him. He's one of those guys that has tried to make, lemonade out of lemons, and at least luckily for him, he's getting a payoff for it right now. Not everybody sees that payoff.
So, all right, we spent 30 minutes on this. I wasn't trying to go this long.
Discussion.
But no, it's good. Hey, good discussion. We're potting, boys. We're potting. Look, 3 years into this, we're figuring it out. We're potting.
I think the whole episode on this. But.
We could have.
We'll need Mount Rushmore for the week.
Yeah. The course du jour is always the Mount Rushmore and Jabroni of the week from this show. You know how we give it to you, both the positive and negative from the week that was in pro wrestling through our eyes. So, who wants to kick it off? Mount Rushmore. What do we got? What's on top of your mountain this week?
I'll kick it off. This week really enjoyed Grand Slam as a show overall. I thought that was the best show of the week for me. Really like how they laid it out. Just it felt like a big event. But the person that really gets the Mount Rushmore, not the event, on the show, Toni Storm. I'm just enjoying what the hell Tony's doing. She's had a great month. Just what she did. She was the full tool player at All In, and that match on Wednesday, they brought it up saying that she was going into this match being the first woman to try to be a 3-time AEW Women's Champion. She deserves it. At some point during this gimmick, she needs to be that first person to become 3-time champ. And I don't need it just to be done quickly. It can take a little while. It just needs to be in this gimmick, though, because I need her to win this title and pretend like she just won an Oscar and just do that whole, you know, they like me, they really like me type moment. And just like hold that belt up like it was her Oscar, just because she's entertained the hell out of me with this gimmick right now. And she goes in the ring. So
Chris is taking a month's worth of data and factoring into this week's Mount Rushmore.
It's this week's match I've enjoyed. Like that's what's there, but it's been consistent.
I am fully entertained by Toni Storm. Like there's no doubt about it. Like, I mean, the, you know, eyes up, tits out, watch for the shoe is that's arguably the greatest promo line of the year. But I still wish like there was a true moment where you can pinpoint as to why she just automatically flipped into this character.
Yeah. Because
she just showed up like this person. She was spray painting graffiti in green on the walls with the Outcast, and then all of a sudden she shows up as a 1920 starlet.
Yeah. Just came down in a robe one day, was like, okay, what's this?
It's like, and you can't, there's things that you can't make fun of now either. Like you can't like say, oh, she had a concussion. You know, that's why she's acting like this or something. Like that's that people would say something about that or a mental health issue or something, you know? So it's like, yeah, I kind of wish that there was a moment.
Yeah. But no, she, like, I have no problem with her being up there for the month that she's had, even though we're a weekly recap show. I got you. You're good.
The match was my favorite match of the week. So
it's your Mount Rushmore. I'm not mad at it. She's up there for sure in what she's done. So I'm glad other women are getting spotlight because that's where I'm gonna go with my women's. And I said last week I had Impact 1000 on my Mount Rushmore just because of it being the 1000th episode and how they tied in the nostalgia and bringing people back, you know, and all that. But this week, you know, I'm putting them on the Mount Rushmore again, specifically Gail Kim and Awesome Kong. Man, if you weren't there, if you weren't outside in the streets, as they say, for that Awesome Kong run in TNA when her and Gail Kim were going at it, you missed out on some of the best women's matches and storytelling that there were. But just to see Kong in the ring again doing her thing and Gail Kim, you know, the beautiful people with the entrance, Mickie James, spoiler alert, we've already set up what's going to be the women's knockout title match for Bound for Glory. If you don't know, check it out. But yeah, I'm going to throw all 10 of those women in there for this week on my Mount Rushmore. Because I thoroughly enjoyed the match. And my favorite part of the match was, and Tasha Steelz tweeted it out yesterday, but she came running into the ring hot, and Awesome Kong just hit her with an open hand slap. It was like, this is perfect. This is hilarious. Tasha tweeted out, why didn't nobody tell me? I messed around and found out. Like, kudos to all those women getting their just due and the knockouts for being put into a spotlight to showcase why, for as long as they have been considered the best women's division in all of pro wrestling, because they've booked their women strongly for years now.
I was trying to think, though, on Thursday when I was watching that. When was Awesome Kong a face, though? Like, I get it. She's retired now. She's, you know, she's in the Hall of Fame. You know, she's made nice with everybody. But I was like, I don't know. Like, having her and Gail Kim on the same team, just like, I think I would have rather had Awesome Kong on the other side and we got that face-to-face.
Got that face-off. Yeah, that face-off one last time. Yeah, it would have been nice, especially because she came out with the manager too. She came out with, yeah, you know, she's Saeed, and it's like, oh, you're going to full blown Kong Monster Hill gimmick, but she's on the babyface side. So yeah.
No, nah. Like she got the debut for the team, and nothing wrong with that.
I didn't even know Big Bad Beetleborgs was a thing. That must have been a show that only aired in Florida, Taekwon. So I don't
never heard of that. It was a Fox show, too. No, it was a Fox. Yes, it was. Yeah.
Uh-huh. It was awful, but it was a thing.
And then VR Troopers and all that.
Yeah, where that all came out.
Wrestling this week as a whole, I enjoyed everything. I didn't watch Rampage, but I enjoyed everything through and through. I think I might enjoy Raw more because the Steelers were kind of trash on Monday.
You got the W. What are you talking about?
It's all that matters.
They were trash. They were trash. So I was like fully invested in Raw. Had some good ass matches. But I was gonna put the women this week, but since everybody
go ahead.
I was gonna put women as a whole because you had thing, but I'll go with Becky Lynch this week.
There you go.
Just because because he's had some back-to-back matches that have been great. And if she's going down there to be full-time every week, and if she's putting in the work, I'm going to put her on my Mount Rushmore.
The only thing I didn't like about Becky this week, and it had nothing to do with her, it was I got an open NXT challenge match and on Raw, and I faced Natalya. That was the only thing that I didn't like.
Natalya again.
Yeah.
Natalya again.
I enjoyed the match.
Yeah, like enjoyed the match, but yeah, no, nah, don't have Natty come out. Like, bring one of those NXT women up for that moment to spotlight them.
I didn't want it to happen, but I was thinking, like, what if they brought Jade out right now?
Okay.
I saw a lot of that on the Twitter feed, X.
Yeah.
It's still both.
Yeah. But I saw a lot of that. They were like, yo, if Jade comes out right now, like, and I'm like, well, would people actually pop for her? And it was a legitimate question because, yeah, mm-hmm. We're in the wrestling internet bubble and we consume everything and we talk about everything and that. But your average WWE fan that just watches WWE is not going to know who Jade is.
The kids probably won't.
I think you have enough there that'll get a decent pop.
The at-home audience would pop, that's for sure. It would be a moment for us. But
definitely oh shit moment.
Yeah. All right. So we're 3 for 3 for women. I know Donald's gonna come in with his He-Man Woman Haters Club shirt on and get off this train.
Oh no. Because mine is actually a women's match too. Actually on Rampage. Man, it's going like a little bit off the wall, but I really enjoyed Julia Hart and Sky Blue. Little match they had yesterday, especially Julia Hart. Ever since she went to House of Black, she's been really showing up. She got the character down point, and her in-ring got a lot better from the last time.
The suplex spot off the top rope.
Yes,
after she was hanging there. That's a nice spot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a nice spot for sure.
Yeah, but for her to only be, you know, in the wrestling business for like 2.5 years, and she's like really picking it up now. I have nothing but good things to say about her. I mean, I liked her even when she was with the Varsity Blondes, but now since she's with House of Black, learning from three good people, I'm fully on the train with her.
Yeah, she's elevated it up. I don't know where her ceiling is, though.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? With this particular version of her, I don't know if she just gets to a certain point and then that's it. I'm not saying that I look at her and just automatically go, okay, she could be a main event title holder, but for where she's at and what she's doing, she's been one of the best characters this year that I've enjoyed in pro wrestling.
Yeah, I didn't know she was
seeing her live whenever they were here, like the whole aura and that, like it definitely changes when you're in the arena live and she comes out. It feels different. And you know, shout out to her for stepping up and, like you said, nailing the character and fully investing. Because if you believe in the character 100% and you put that persona out there, the fans see it and pick up on it, and then they start to get invested one way or the other, positive or negative. We hear wrestlers talk about that all the time. Like, no matter what you give me, I have to buy in and be that person. And if I'm mm-hmm. not, then the fans are going to see it, and it's not going to work.
No.
So, yeah. Look at us, progressive show.
Now, if we can keep this ball rolling, we went from book the women's match better to what are they doing with Asuka? Let's keep this.
Hey, I'd like that. I liked Asuka and Ia last night.
I did too. Yes,
there was some good ass women's matches on this week.
Until Charlotte showed her face, I did it.
Yeah, didn't need that.
Yeah, you didn't need that.
Give me 20 minutes of Io and Asuka on a pay-per-view.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And let them go at it. And I guarantee you it'll steal the show.
That's big four worthy.
Absolutely it is. Now, will they book it that way? Probably not.
No.
They gave it to you on SmackDown. That's the best you're going to get now.
Hey, look, you got two out. We're giving AEW love now.
Give everybody love this week.
Oh, I have another like a 1A. I mean, like a 1B for Mount Rushmore. Pretty Deadly's vignette. It was hilarious.
I knew it was coming.
Hilarious.
That was a great thing.
Hashtag Ellen Strong. I was like, okay, because I watched the vignette this morning. Because as soon as I read the recap, I'm like, oh, I gotta go watch this. And I watched it. I'm like, am I really about to put Pretty Deadly up on my Mount Rushmore this week? Like, I debated it for a solid 10 minutes this morning before we went live. But
he had to separate his shoulder. He'll be fine.
Yeah, that was the best part. He's doing the overhead hamstring stretch with his leg, and she's like, he's a separated shoulder. He'll be fine. Like, it's tremendous.
He knocked over his drink. He goes, can you get my drink for me?
Can't.
Those two, I absolutely hated them in NXT. Hated them.
Come around.
Right? I hated them. And I hated them. Not because I didn't like what they were doing. I hated them because they were so damn good at it that I'm like, you guys are going to make me like you, and I don't want to like you. And sure enough, I'm out here.
So good at being hateable characters.
Yeah, like, God damn it, they got me. And I'm over here like, I want Pretty Deadly on my screen as much as possible.
Yes.
I was the same way, but for me, it was in the UK. Whenever I watched them, I'm like, why are these guys on the UK show? Like, you had Gunther and everybody over there. It's just like, then you get Pretty Deadly. It's just like, this makes no sense to me whatsoever. And then just like, you watch them and they get you.
Yes.
It's just like, before they even went to NXT, I was like, these guys are legit. And then
I didn't watch them in NXT UK. So when I saw them show up in NXT, like I said, I was like, oh no, get them the hell out of here. This is not right. And I immediately, my first words out were, oh, this is Zoolander brought to the world of pro wrestling. Like, this is Owen Wilson and Ben Stiller just doing Zoolander. And watching that last night, like when he's holding him on the ground, and he's like, ow, 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 you're on my hair. I'm like, that's a Zoolander line. Like, that is a Zoolander line. Like, just tremendous. So yeah, we may just have a separate Pretty Deadly segment of the week just to pop it. And
they keep doing stuff like that each week. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
Yeah. So no, absolutely. After I was sure, I'm like, Donald's gonna say it. It's like, because he didn't do it last week when they mm-hmm. showed up and came back. I'm like, oh, he's definitely putting them on the list this week. So yeah.
Yeah, that was my 1B. Because I just like Julia Styles so much yesterday.
Last week,
Julia Styles.
Julia Styles.
I was watching. I was watching Orphan First Kill, so she's on there. So.
All right. Enough with the positivity. Let's get into the drizzling shits, because I got a lot to get off my chest this week with that. So I'm going to sit back and let Jens go first, because I don't want to hog it. But yeah.
I'm going with NXT. They're, I guess they're now being dubbed Out the Mud. Bronco Lima OTM. And Lucian. What?
Cringe. Can it was so cringy.
We get a non-stereotypical vignette, like
so stereotypical in the alley cutting money,
playing and dice.
And you got Reggie, who's been on Fashion Week with Dana Brooke and Nia Jax, doing cartwheels and gymnastics in the ring, to being a poet scripts writer, and now he's just counting money in the back of the alley like he's from the streets.
Yeah,
really.
I like y'all because y'all make this money right here. Like, nah, man.
Look, Reggie gets an exemption because he's showing character work. Them mother two boys, get out of here. Just throw everything else about Taekwon, that wasn't hilarious. That's because you're in that element, Taekwon. You are the stereotype. You are the stereotype.
You can't back that.
Yeah, you can't. You can't.
Look, I don't need to Out the Mud. If you're going, because there were trademarks filed this week in WWE. Yeah. So one was Jada Parker, which we can all assume is for Jay Cargill. You had Out the Mud and OTM. If they call him OTM, I'm okay with it, right?
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. Like, Crime Time was hilarious because it was Crime Time, and you just saw it, and it's like, are we really rehashing Crime Time with these two? I can't buy
into Crime Time was good though. These two bums are
you know what would make me buy into these two, Bronco and that with OTM and Out the Mud. You know what would have me on board with this? If you take Reggie out and you drop Stokely Hathaway in.
No.
Absolutely.
I'd enjoy Stokely. No. Get these JUCO high school recruits. Bums off my screen.
Yo, you saying they were on Last Chance U, old East Mississippi State out there, Last Chance Unit.
Oh yeah.
So we went ahead to bookmark this just in case for a year if he's having the Pretty Deadly reaction.
I'm not gonna be out here like Out the Mud. No.
Jason, he's gonna buy a bandana that has OTM written all over it.
No,
they're gonna come out with a black hoodie and a Scully. Like, that's just merch waiting to happen.
They're gonna have Bubba Sparks song Out of the Mud. I'm feeling I can fail.
Vince doesn't pay for
you, Donald. You old ass Cody Rhodes referencing son of a gun. You got a Julius Styles reference, and now you're bringing up Paul Wall.
The Bubba Sparks.
Or Bubba Sparks. Now you bring up Bubba Sparks. Ain't been relevant since sitting on four bones. Like, what are we doing? Oh, so red is. Yeah, that was bad. That was so bad. So bad. I almost turned my TV off. Like, not change the channel. I almost turned the entire TV off after that
video. I mean, happened. Metaphor almost had me turn it off, but those two, I was like, you know what? I'm done.
I'm glad Butch interrupted that just terrible Keanu Reeves, Lawrence Fishburne impersonation that was trying to pull off.
That was bad. They're only good for their entrance, and that's it. Soon as the lights go off, that's it.
It was nice seeing Pete Dunne and Butch, Tyler Bate in the ring again because you harken back to their finals matches and that and their rivalry. Those two, I don't think those two can ever have a bad match with each other. Taekwon. You can't say that, Taekwon. And I don't even know if I'm allowed to laugh at that line. There's your character development.
Right there. NXT have a class for that?
Yeah, it's held outside in the parking lot. They drive down to Liberty City for that tutorial. Oh,
AB.
And Ocho Cinco is his prompt tutor. He's his teaching assistant. Oh, God. Yeah, that was bad. All right, who's next?
Oh, gosh. I'll go next. For me, it was some of the announcers this week. Kevin Patrick, his segues on Cole were terrible. He was saying, oh, Cole, you, I mean, you finally sat down because of last week you were standing up because the great one was out there. No, cut it off. You, man, you sound terrible during that. And then during the EO and Asuka match, if I hear Genius of the Sky one more time, man, my fist was about to fly through that TV. It's like, dude, shut the fuck up with that line. Every time she got close to the ropes, Genius of the Sky, Genius of the Sky. I think he knows nothing about wrestling unless there's a script in front of his face. Terrible. On to, as we said a couple weeks ago, Tony Schiavone, he definitely has to go. He just sounds like Sloth on the Goonies. It makes no sense.
80s reference again. Keep going. Let's see how many we can get in. We got three tallies. Let's go.
We got three. He's never died, right, so.
It's just, Tony Schiavone has to go. And then this one might get hated on a little bit.
Don't.
I love him.
Don't do it.
But Booker.
Don't do it.
Booker, you have to stop with the every single something. Like every time something happens in the match, that, ah. I don't need that 5 times in the match. Ah. Come on,
you
Book.
You know why we're here.
Book, you're better than that. You're Book better than that. Even when Joey Styles did the oh my God, he didn't do it like 6 times in a match for ECW. Oh my God. Oh. Ah.
No bread, no water, just me.
Ah. You gotta stop. That's the only thing I don't like about Book. Like you gotta stop. This was some of the worst commentary I heard this week for people.
I agree with
you. I like when Becky came out, he was like, to be the man. And dude was like, I'm not finishing that line. I'm not getting in trouble.
Last night, whenever I watched SmackDown, I thought the same thing about Kevin Patrick. Just going like, how much longer is left with this trial? You know, it's like he's got Cole there to help him out right now, and it's not work. I think it's getting worse.
No, it is. After yesterday, I prefer Cole. I prefer Cole over Patrick, and that's saying something.
But look who, I mean, like, look who's training him.
Yeah, you keep saying.
I mean, it's why these guys all turn out the way they do. Because look who's training them.
I don't know, man. Talent will shine out in the end, but I just don't think none of these guys got the talent to do it. But yeah, every single week, Taquan, he's there watching the show and has no idea what's going on. All right, Chris, what do we got?
All right, you ready for violence?
I read that in the Booker T voice. I literally read that in Booker T's voice. Like,
that's a good one, bro.
I don't know how you don't read that line in Booker T's voice.
That's a good one, bro.
I have to follow that now, huh? All right, Steve, you want violence today, so I'll give you a little bit of violence. Eddie Kingston won the Ring of Honor Championship on Wednesday. Yeah. I do not understand what people see in him. I will never, other than mic work, I will never get it. And just, I was sitting there thinking on Wednesday night after he won, and it went back to, I thought of Cody before AEW officially started. You know, they brought in Sean Spears and started their feud. And Cody goes, he's a good hand. And you know how that kind of like sparked Sean, you know, to go after Cody. It's just like, but I was like, that's all Eddie is. He's a good hand. He doesn't do anything else in the company. To me, he's not a draw for anything. And it's just like, and they keep giving him these moments. And I don't get it.
That was the only title change that made sense out of all the title changes from Wednesday and last night.
I was expecting him to win.
Yeah.
Just because I didn't think that New Japan was going to give Claudio the title. But
not even from that aspect. That was the only match that actually had a story behind it. And the story's been all over the place because Kingston got hurt. So, you know, there was the delay in that. And then after he came back from injury, he immediately went to the G1 and then won the New Japan. So, like, they've been all over the place with the story. But there was at least a story for that match.
And that's another thing. Like, I'll never understood why he, out of all the talent in AEW, that he was the one that got in the G1. Like,
and was this story played on Dynamite at all?
No, it was all ROH.
ROH.
Yeah. I mean, it was for the Ring of Honor title, so yeah, I like, it makes sense. But if you don't watch ROH, and that's one of the, it's one of my soapboxes.
Yeah.
Moving forward, but yeah, I knew the moment was going to happen. You're in New York. You're not going to have him not win the belt.
And belt for belt.
Yeah.
And belt for belt.
Yeah, the belt, definitely belt for belt.
You knew that was coming on. Yeah.
But to segue off of yours, Chris, like, one of my things this week between Wednesday and Friday showed is that Tony Khan does not know what he's doing with Ring of Honor.
No. Mm-mm. You can definitely tell.
Ring of Honor is the most irrelevant brand in all of pro wrestling right now.
I thought of this about a week or so ago. It so heavily reminded me of the Invasion angle. It's just like, yes, he's at least given this a show, but he's booked it no better than the way they brought in WCW to WWE.
It's teetering on ECW WWE.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I'm putting it at. Just because titles, titles. Hell, I would even, now that Tyrus doesn't have the belt, I'd watch NWA more.
I've watched the past couple weeks.
But you have, you cannot continue to put, like, you continuing to put ROH champions on Dynamite does nothing for the ROH brand.
Exactly.
It's not doing what you think it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And all you're doing is clustering up everything. We need a delineation between the two. They're two separate brands. Have your ROH guys solely wrestle on Ring of Honor. Make that the emphasis.
The last Ring of Honor pay-per-view felt like an AEW show because it was so much AEW talent on that program.
And that's why I have no problem with Kingston winning the ROH title. Because to me, he's more, not that he's an ROH guy, but I could see him being in Ring of Honor.
Hey, if they keep him there, cool. I'll be happy if he stays in Ring of Honor.
You can't continue to do this crossover BS.
Oh, I agree.
And then not put on the best talent you have in Ring of Honor in Athena.
Yeah, very true.
She has been the best Ring of Honor talent. She's arguably having one of the best years in all of women's wrestling. From in-ring work to mic work to doing social media stuff with the Minions in Training video that she dropped this week, she has been on point, and we have not seen her anywhere near a Dynamite, Rampage, or Collision. But yet, we'll throw everybody else out there on the men's side on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And even gave a title change for the six-man title to the Bucks and the Hangman.
Yep.
To their ROH six-man title.
What was that?
Last night on Rampage.
Okay, because I'm on the roster page now, just seeing who the roster is, and I see they're the champs. I'm like, okay, when did that happen?
Yeah, last night.
Bro, she was at All Out on the pre-show. Don't count.
The only individual wrestler on Things page is on the page is Athena and Samoa Joe. Everybody else is part of a trio or tag.
And Joe's on
AEW. Martinez.
I think Joe's more on AEW than he's on Ring of Honor.
Now, since he was, you know, feuding with MJF.
You had the number one contenders match for the ROH tag team titles last night on Rampage.
Yeah.
Like, stop. You're not, it's not helping. It's not drawing eyes. All you're doing is diluting the product to where people like me who were actually excited when you bought Ring of Honor and put on the first couple shows of Ring of Honor to actually feel like you were going to do something with it, and you've done nothing with it.
I said this before. The Ring
of Honor. Now I'm going to make Pro cry. No, pause. Now I'm going to make Pro cry. Enough with the positivity for AEW with certain
That's matches. It.
Enough.
Steve's been waiting for this moment all day long.
I was not a fan of Grand Slam at all. I wasn't.
I didn't care for the first.
Based off of everything that they done.
Didn't enjoy the matches. Or you just didn't enjoy.
No, just like you're throwing shit out there in this Mickey Mouse booking era that you've been in for 6 months of just throwing on these specials that you slap a big title on and expect me to believe that it's going to be something important and matter. It don't matter. It means absolutely nothing. Your title changes meant absolutely nothing.
To me, I felt like it was the best Grand Slam that they've put on. It's like, now, Grand, you know, I really enjoyed the Kenny Omega and Danielson match.
Yeah, I enjoyed the first one a lot.
That was good, but, like, I felt like, overall, this is the one that actually felt like it was big, like a big event.
The only part of Jericho and Sammy that I liked was the ending, whenever they harkened back and did the Jericho a la Shawn Michaels.
That was
I hated the storyline.
My least favorite match.
You rushed it to death. Now you're lying, Sammy, with the Don Callis family. No, give me Kota Ibushi and Katesha. Why can't I Takeshita. Say it right now?
Takeshita.
Yes. Give me those two in a singles match at Wrestle Dream. Don't make it a triple threat now.
Yeah. I didn't understand that either.
Because we had that already at All In.
Not only that, but with the Hung Bucks winning the ROH titles, you want to know what didn't matter in that match? The ROH six-man titles.
Yes.
Hangman gave more attention to Swerve and was more concerned about Swerve and paid more attention to Swerve than being elated to win a title.
So the next week won't focus on them as six-man champs. It will
you're
focus
using
on
the
them.
ROH belts as a pawn in the storyline.
Taking it off a team who had it for what they say, 17 months or something? Or I don't know, to a year. They said something like that. There was a long reign.
It was a long reign. They beat Dalton Castle and the boys. I forget when that was.
Yeah. Because they were talking about it was a long reign.
Moxley and Phoenix, obviously we know why that went the way it went.
Yeah.
You can't – that's negligence across the board.
Yeah.
Like
the ref should have just counted the three.
After the first one, you call it. There's no reason why that match should have continued. And then to do it again a second time.
Yeah, it looks even worse.
That was worse.
And Mox said something, so I don't – maybe that was Mox's call. You know, but he wasn't in his right frame of mind to be calling stuff either.
No. Somebody had to come in there and stop that. Yeah. There's like an injured player running out on the field. I'm good. No, you're not.
Joe and MJF, look, this happened last Saturday with Collision, and I tweeted this out and was going back and forth with the people about it. I brought it up on a show before with Orange Cassidy and Darby Allin. Last weekend, Britt Baker hit Chris Statlander with three finishing maneuvers in a row, and she kicks out.
Mm-hmm.
We saw in other matches this week, MJF, Muscle Buster, everything else kicks out. Pile driver on the cement on the outside floor, roll back in the ring, kicks out. Power bomb on the apron, kicks out. Like, you're not making me buy in that all these people are super soldiers and have taken the serum to just be able to kick out of everything that's possible on the planet.
I thought about that this week a lot with back in the day how they used to protect finishers. You know, it's like if Steve, you're not gonna like this because I'm gonna go back, but take
and
know.
That's it. I was mad about that spot too. Can't have a 350 pound man do a moonsault and Kofi Kingston, who's 170 soaking wet, kicks out.
Back in the day, you
but Ivar didn't follow. Ivar didn't follow up the moonsault with a power bomb and then a big slam
DDT or call
Big Show choke slam and then Kofi kicked out.
Back in the day, they used to, if you had a finisher like Jake the Snake, he was doing the DDT. No other match was supposed to have a DDT in it. Mm-hmm. That was supposed to be his finisher for that match. And then it's like WCW kind of came along and like they didn't protect finishers. They just kept doing it. And that's what AEW is doing. They just overuse it. Like they kick out of everything. It's almost the same exact formula.
Yeah.
It's not a good thing at all. Like the over, like how often do we talk about the overuse of super kicks? The overuse of
Canadian Destroyer.
Canadian Destroyer. Yeah. It's like, you don't have to ruin finishers just because it gives you that oh shit moment at the end of the match.
But it's not even an oh shit moment. Like, everybody's like popping for Chris Statlander to kick out after Britt Baker hits her with three finishers. And it's like, how are you, like, how are you excited about, like, are, is your mind so caught up in the moves that you're not paying attention to actual psychology if wins and losses matter, and this is supposed to be a competition in a sport portrayed in the manner that it's portrayed, how can you, I mean, it would be like, it would be like Conor McGregor going out there hitting an elbow, a spinning heel kick, and then an arm bar, and the person don't tap and they get up and go to the next round.
And that Britton Statlander match, like the sequence had me, I was hooked on the sequence, but then when she kicked out, it just like killed everything for me.
Yeah. Yeah. What did Statlander even hit to win the match? Was it a roll up?
Probably.
Not that she hit.
She didn't hit her with a finish.
No, it wasn't a finisher. Like it was. It was like a surprise or something.
Said the roll up. I mean, you mean the typical women's finish?
The most devastating move in all professional wrestling.
The typical women's finish.
Yeah, it's like,
I mean, you look at, and then you look at this Wrestle Dream card, and this is supposed to be an event that's built to pay homage and honor Inoki, right? Isn't that what this was built? Mm-hmm. Look at the card so far. That's just another AEW event.
Yeah.
And none of these are dream matches. None of these are dream matches except for Zack Sabre Jr. and Danielson.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it. Everything else is part of a story.
I'd rather see Velveteen Dream on this freaking Wrestle Dream match card.
That's why I haven't understood why we have Hangman and Swerve. Like, how is this? Like, it should, in a way, it should be all crossover matches, if anything. You could have maybe like one, like an actual title match or something, but it should all be like crossover matches.
Like AEW, I'm over just the throwing of shit together just because I can aspect of AEW. It's very quickly becoming my least favorite product to watch on a weekly basis. And it was my favorite for a long time. But nothing of your show makes sense. Hell, you even had freaking production errors. You had the guy with the stupid, the clip to take 26 clip.
That had to have been an intern.
Keith Lee getting kind of down with Keith Lee with the all right and like, what are we doing?
Showed the unedited clip instead of the edited clip on TV.
Please make that a bit.
And you think they would have capitalized on it and made it into a bit, so that it doesn't come off like you're stooges and don't know what you're doing 4.5 years into your company. But no, you didn't even follow it up this week with anything.
Could have been QTTV. Perfect.
Yeah.
So what's that anymore?
Just,
dude, that's that.
I watched Rampage last night just to watch it, and that,
what happened to that segment?
That's why I'm glad I don't watch Rampage consistently anymore.
The only part of Rampage that I liked last night was Jay White hiding behind his cutout in the same exact pose.
We can see his finger a little bit.
We can see his thumb sticking out. Bullet Club Gold and the Bang Bang Gang, I'm all here for. They entertain me every single week.
I watched Dynamite, I watched Impact, I watched SmackDown, and I watched Rampage. And that was my order of what I enjoyed this week. Ooh. Just the way I watched
them. I mean, that's the biggest, like, you can take booking aside and everything else, and they're, you know, his booking style is what it is. But those types of production errors are just absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
Like, and you see it consistently week in and week out. I thought Mike Mansuri coming over from WWE would fix that. And it hasn't done anything as far as fixing it.
No, it's still pretty much the same production.
But I mean, I thought him coming in would eliminate the camera shot gaffes.
No. Yeah. You know, at least that.
No, it's still happening every single week in and week out. Like,
he probably says he's a spy.
Yeah, like, I have no interest in Russell Dream besides Danielson and Sabre Jr. I have no interest for Collision tonight. I'm not even going to be home to watch it. I got free tickets to the Pit game, so I'm going down there tonight. But, like, I'm not interested in AEW at all right now.
Collision is, for me, at least, the most consistent program on TV right now. It's like there's weeks that I don't go into it as interested with matches, but after watching it, it's always consistent that, okay, this is the show that I enjoy the most.
You can't be on TV for 5 hours a week and literally have the same show for five straight hours. And Collision will get there to where it's just the same thing. All right, enough of me, Ram. That's your Mount Rushmore Jabronis of the Week. We'll hop off the negative soapboxes and get into a little game here that Donald's come up for this week. Last week's debate, this was the PWI Top 500, Top 10 list. Go back in the archives, check that out. We got the video up separately so you can go back in. This week, what do we got, Donald?
We have a two-parter What If. Part one is, what if the Elite would have signed with WWE instead of creating AEW? And then the second part is, what if the Elite signed with WWE this year before re-signing with AEW?
It'd be the same answer for me in both cases. The Young Bucks would be in catering and Omega would be in the main event. That's it. All they wanted was Omega. That's it.
And Hangman would have just been out there for nothing. The pitch for
this year was just Omega. Yeah, you can bring your buddies along. But we only have eyes for you. You know?
Just because they have eyes for them doesn't mean they're actually going to use them.
No, WWE was playing the good wingman. Hey, you can have the 5-1 and I'll take the because I'm a good wingman and I'm a good friend for you. They courtship, they wanted Omega. That's it. He was the golden goose. And because they have the pact where all four of them stay together, you know, ultimately they re-signed and they decided to go with All Elite in the beginning, but yeah. Bucks would be in catering, Hangman would be on Level Up, and Omega would be in the main event picture.
That Level Up.
That's Paul, not my money. Feelings for them. That's not my feelings of them. But
that's what you just think of
what. That's what would happen.
Part one, we wouldn't have this show. again, part one, and that would be a whole lot better place. part two, I'd have to agree with Steve. I wouldn't say they wouldn't be in catering, but they wouldn't be top guys in the company. Young Bucks. They will be top guys.
Part one, I think if they would have signed with WWE, I think they would have gotten a little bit of a draw, all of them. I don't think it would have lasted. I think that at this point, they'd all be gone. They wouldn't have re-signed their contracts. They would have saw what WWE was going to do with them, and they would have been like, okay, New Japan will treat us better, or whatever, you know, Ring of Honor. If you know, if they would have still been around. I don't think any of them would have stuck with it. And if they would have signed with WWE, not so much going to think about where they would be in WWE, but I remember how AEW was after Cody left, how it was like a complete clusterfuck of a rebuilding year. I think we'd be seeing the same exact thing in AEW again, and that could really have been the downfall of AEW.
Well, and it would have been just like New Japan whenever everybody had the mass exodus from New Japan. Yeah. With Nakamura, AJ, like you had all those guys leave at once. Mm-hmm. Now you had some people to fill the roles, but AEW, they wouldn't have had anybody else to step into those spots because they don't build nobody up.
Like, I think in either case,
Hangman was like juggling.
I think in either case, Hangman might have been the guy.
The guy
that might have been the that went the furthest.
Okay,
with the company.
Oh, you think Hangman? He's not somebody said in WWE. You think Hangman would have been the star in WWE?
I believe so.
Interesting,
because these other guys, they're already pegged in what they are. I think Hangman, you still could have turned him into something.
They could have molded him how they wanted him.
Yeah, how they want. Yeah. You know.
For me, part one, I think they would have treated Omega like AJ when he first came in. It would have gave him the big pop and all that stuff. But whenever he would have fought whoever champ was at the time, I couldn't remember, he wouldn't have won the title. You know how like AJ fought Roman a couple times. Yeah. And then he would have got lost in the mix. I think they would have gave the Young Bucks the titles just because of the name for the steam that they was in, but it wouldn't last long. And Hangman would have been down at NXT. I think he wouldn't even got a shot at the main roster at that point. Yeah, I think they would have just had him trade down NXT. For part two, if they would have signed with WWE this year, I think they wouldn't have been actually nothing. Maybe Omega to fight Seth for that belt. I think he wouldn't even be able to touch Roman at all. Just because, you know, Roman's on his leave and all that stuff. So I wouldn't even think there wouldn't even been a shot at all for Omega to touch Roman. And I just think the Young Bucks and Hangman would have just been lost in the mix.
And then they would have had a better opportunity this time around just because of the amount of factions that are in WWE currently. So you could have brought that, you would have had the Bloodline, you would have had, you know, the Lashley Street Profits are coming up, you have Judgment Day, like you have factions that they could have played off of with them four coming in. You have the tie-ins to Balor in the Bullet Club with Omega and those guys. Like, you have stuff that you could have done. But, yeah, no, I don't.
Would they have just been lumped like AJ is with the OGs?
Yeah. Yeah, you guys all know each other from another promotion. Plus, the Young Bucks wouldn't have got over anyway because, you know, the Yes Boys are back, so.
All right. That's the two-parter What If this week. Hit us up on social media. Let us know your thoughts and feelings regarding Donald's What If. Anybody else got anything from this week in pro wrestling before we wrap it up and get out of here with a quote of the week?
Isla Dawn and Alba Fire made an appearance. I mean, yeah, I haven't seen them since they lost to Rousey.
I mean, yeah, so we'll see if that leads to anything.
Yeah.
They've been the reason as to why all these women's injuries are happening, because they put a voodoo spell out.
Papa Shango gonna manage them.
Here's a good question for you, Steve.
What's that? What if I was all elite?
I couldn't take it.
I don't think Steve would take that call right now.
Take it.
Everybody didn't want to take that call on Thursday. I think Steve would have been ducking and diving that one too.
Butt heads every day.
There's no way they bring Jay Cargill in and put her in NXT.
No.
Nope. Main roster immediately.
They need to.
NXT.
Main roster immediately.
NXT. Jason, for you, NXT or main roster?
I'd put her in NXT.
Okay.
NXT.
The good thing about AEW or WWE is they can hide the negatives.
Can they?
Hey, they made Ava look kind of decent in her last match.
All right, it'll be interesting to see.
It'll be interesting to see.
Can they throw her immediately on the main roster? Yeah. I don't think Jay Cargill is signing a deal to go in NXT when they didn't want her originally. They didn't want her originally. That's why she ended up in AEW. Now I had this run. I've lost two matches.
Mm-hmm.
I draw money. I look great. I got an attitude that can back it up. Nah, throw her on the main roster. Let her get her work on house shows.
If they announce her as part of the next PC class, then she's going to NXT.
I thought she didn't want her WWE schedule.
Well, she has more leverage now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I thought that was why, like, the first time she didn't sign with WWE.
Pro, it's Jada Parker.
Jada Parker. J-A-I-D-A Parker. Hey, Miss Parker. I'll be sitting there waving all day long.
I'll throw up on the main roster. I mean, they have nobody for Rhea right off the bat. So
you don't want to just throw her into that. And then
hey, if he can't swim, throw in the deep end. Learn.
They threw her right out there in AEW.
Laird.
I'd put her against in a feud with Bayley.
What, and kill Bayley? Just bury Bayley even more? Just bury Bayley even more.
Well, Bayley doesn't need anything. But Bayley, I think Bayley's the most technical.
Technical to get her. Yeah. Let her come up there. Let her work the house circuit with Bayley and have matches four nights a week. But I just think if you bring her in for NXT, I don't see the reason why you sign her. Like
if you put her in NXT, she's going straight Braun Breaker.
If they're doing NXT, then why are all these rumors and reports coming out of creative coming up with ideas and pitches for her on the main roster already?
Give her a short stint in NXT.
Yeah. She still needs help in the ring.
She needs the work.
She can't be learning on the main roster like Dom.
Hey, it worked out for Dom. He's top three.
Top three champion of all. Put
why
everybody
you coming at a man like that.
He's always going to come at him like that.
Who put the Crossroads over better than anybody?
Hey, look, Tabor. If we get him and Ilya. I'm here for it.
He can make Ilya look even better.
He might stop die in that, man.
I mean, is this a way, like, with Ali being released, and we'll get to quote of the week real quick because we're an hour 26 into this. With Ali being gone and Dom not having an opponent now, is this a way to, like, get Wesley back without having to tell the story that you were originally going to tell, and it would make sense?
Sad Wes.
I'm over Sad Wes.
You got a week to figure it out. You don't have a full week to figure it out, but.
Because he fights Dragon Lee on Raw?
No Mercy.
No Mercy. Okay.
No, it's Raw.
It's a Raw?
Raw.
Yeah, Raw for the title. Yeah, Raw for the title. Yeah. No Mercy was supposed to be Ali.
Yeah, No Mercy was Ali.
I thought they pushed Dragon Lee back to No Mercy.
I didn't hear that, but that would make sense.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
Now
it makes sense.
Yeah. Now it makes sense.
Now, yeah.
All right. That's the show. Thanks for tuning in each and every single week. As always, hit us up on all social media platforms at DumbMarksPod. Email the show at DumbMarksPod@gmail.com. ProWrestlingTees.com/DumbMarksPod. YouTube. Click the bell, like, get the notifications. Audio only. Find us on Spotify. Subscribe. We appreciate you rocking with us. All right, bro.
Hey, bro.
Thanks for coming. Shout out to Pro for having, you know, going through some adversity and coming out on the other end of it. Bro, shout out to you, Pro. Way to keep fighting. Way to keep fighting. That leads me to my quote of the week. As soon as I find it. Sometimes it takes 10 years to get that 1 year that changes your life. Sometimes it takes 10 years to get that 1 year that changes your life. Eyes open, pay attention. Don't miss the opportunity when it presents itself. Keep grinding and doing the hard work. Thanks for tuning in each and every single week. As always, we appreciate you guys. And until next time, I'm a Mark. You're a Mark. Tell a Mark. Y'all can catch us around the way.